Welcome to Off the Cuff, a podcast where we ask senior pastor, lifelong pastor John Bell a question. And these are truly off the cuff. I don't know what he's going to say. And then I ask him to clarify some of these things. And we do this at least once a week. And you can find Off the Cuff at AmazingMenMinistries.com and go to the series button. Click that and you'll see our video series, Core of a Man with Amazing Men. And then you'll see our Off the Cuff podcast. And you can listen all the time, all content, all the time, always free. We ask you, if you found something interesting, let us know. You could email us, and there's links there to do that. And if you have a question, you could do the same. So, John, I'm not going to say I'm excited about this one. I am thrilled about this one.
Hello.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. All right. You want to start again?
What happened there?
Okay. All right. Want to continue?
Yeah.
All right. Let's continue. It might have been a technical snafu, but no reason to stop. Let's continue. So, John, you know, I hear this a lot when I listen to some preachers. And, you know, some people say, you know, you hear this a lot with the prosperity gospel. And some people say, well, you know, a life of a Christian, if you commit to Jesus Christ and if you make him, you're going to have a wonderful life. Well, we know that's not true. We know we see that. But is there such a thing as the favor of the Lord?
Yes, there is. And think of it like this. A simple way for me to think about it is, you know, if you could see God's face, you know, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. If you could see his face, what's the expression on his face right now? Well, the expression that he always has for his children is big smile. He looks on all of his children with favor. And the word favor is really, it's the word delight. He delights in us. Just like we delight, he delights in us when we delight in him. You know, he favors us. He gives us his grace. He even unbelievers, even really terrible people, have some of the Lord's favor. Why? Because there's a thing called common grace or common favor. There's extraordinary grace, which is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the common grace, and everybody, it's raining right now outside, and guess what? Every lawn in the neighborhood is getting wet, and it has nothing to do with how anybody that lives here feels about God. He sends the rain. We're supposed to love people the way he loves people, because he even blesses his enemies. But yes, the people of God have an extraordinary favor of God. You ask, listen to Isaiah 66:2, because it actually says this. These are the ones, God doing the speaking here, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. In other words, they take my word seriously. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. To be perfect towards God, it's really to be complete. It means if we're going to be perfect towards him, it simply means we're going to seek his favor more than we seek the favor of men. You know, as to your comment earlier, God's favor doesn't mean that you're going to have an easy life. I think of Gabriel when his salutation to Mary, he says, blessed are you, highly favored one. So the favor that she received from God was to bear the Son of God, was to bear the Messiah, was to give birth to Jesus. But if you think about Mary's life, she had a pretty hard life. I mean, she's probably 13 or 14 years old when she gets that message. She's engaged, but she's not married yet. I mean, that's not gonna be good information for gossipy neighbors to hear. She travels down to Bethlehem. They have to escape to Egypt. Then they make their way up to Galilee, and she's basically living a very middle class or lower middle class. Her husband Joseph more than likely dies early. The favor of God doesn't mean you're going to have an easy life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think a lot of times people hear that and they think, wow, I'm going to be God's favorite, and I'm God's favorite, and you're not. And because we think of favorite as being a good thing, like I love, and my favorite food is Italian food, you know, so we can think of favor being good, but it's, am I right by saying it's God's good for our life plan?
Oh yeah, for sure. I'll never forget a line from Fiddler on the Roof. Tuvia is talking to the Lord and he says, "Lord, I know we're your chosen people, but would you mind choosing someone else for a while?"
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's like, look at the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest servant of God other than Jesus. And his whole life is just every day someone's trying to kill him. You know, he's got enemies. He's got people who are slandering him. He's trying to take care of a number of churches. You can imagine what that's like. And, think of Moses, think of Noah.
Yeah, wait, let's just talk about Paul for a second. And then he goes, because something is ailing him, and he asks God to take it away. And he says, "My grace is sufficient."
Yeah, he says, I asked the Lord three times.
Yeah.
Specifically.
And if he was, at that point, if we're looking at favoritism, then of course, you know, absolutely, we're going to take that away. We don't want you to be mm-hmm. ailing by anything. Mm-hmm. And God just says, you know, "My grace is sufficient."
Mm-hmm.
The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient."
Yeah. I have met people over the years, and I'm sure you have as well, who you could just see, like the best compliment I ever got in my life was someone once said to me, he said, "You know, the Holy Spirit dwells so easily inside of you." And I was like, "Well, that's the best thing I'm ever going to get." And it's right, like, yeah. That's, you've met people like that. One of my great friends and great fans was Hal Munsell. And I remember when he got very sick, and he just had the favor of the Lord on his life. But I remember when he got sick, he was in great pain. But whenever I would visit him, I went there to bless him. And I would leave with a greater blessing from him.
Hmm.
So those yeah. the people that have the favor of God, you sense it when you're in their presence. They it's like they know something about God. They have a peace that passes all understanding.
So now, is that identifiable characteristic identifiable to non-believers? It's like, I don't know if you've ever been in a room, but there might be like two Greek guys, and all of a sudden they stop talking American English and they start talking in Greek. Mm-hmm. And now at that point, I have no idea what they're saying. So mm-hmm. I can't, you know, be on the receiving end of that, whatever they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So is that identifiable residence of the Holy Spirit? Is that, can people that are not believers see that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I really,
really?
Yeah. I, you're talking about in us.
Well, yeah, if anybody, like, say, let's say Hal, I remember Hal very well, but can people that are not believers see that same thing that you and I saw?
Well, they sense that there's something different about this person.
Okay.
I think that's, you know, what is happening? How does God use you in such a way that nobody can, it can't be explained by heredity or biology or, you know, education. In other words, something has happened to you, and the only explanation for it is God did something in you. So, it's really that walk with God. I mean, you know, look at it again. He favors those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who really respect His word, who really trust His word, no matter what.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but as we want to be in His will, that favor then merges what the favor is that we want to give to Him. So it's not a material favor, because sometimes these preachers will say, oh, that's, you know, XYZ and this number and that number. And, or it can be if God chooses that. But am I right by saying it's His will that shows us His favor, and we want what He wants for us? So that's the favored life.
Yeah, it's delighting. It really, He delights in us as we delight in Him.
Yeah.
You know, he become, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, what's the difference? Well, He's my shepherd, so everything's taken care of.
Right. And then, you know, the thing that I've always thought of while you're talking about that is, you know, there's part of that favor is discipline. When I was a baby Christian, I thought discipline was a bad thing. But then that next verse is, He maketh me lie down in green pastures. So He makes, you know, it's almost like we're talking, your dog is, kind of chiming in, but let's talk about that dog, because when you first get a little puppy and when you want him to sit, you have to kind of push on his rear to make him sit down.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, in the long term, this is going to help you, but I'm going to make you sit down.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like He makes us, He makes that happen. And sometimes that's discipline.
Yeah.
And as you walk with Him, you understand that that discipline is a really good thing for you.
Yeah. Well, I always say it's not a compliment to be called a sheep.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Sheep are pretty dumb, you know. Right.
But it's a great life.
Sheep. You know, it says of Jesus, He looked at the crowds with compassion for them, because He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. You know, and it's like, that's how He sees it. Here's another way to find favor from the Lord. This is a big one. So Proverbs 8:35 says, and this is speaking about wisdom. For those who find me, which is wisdom, for those who find me, find life and receive favor from the Lord. So in other words, God wants us to be wise, as you said, discipline, something to know what things to stay away from, to know who to associate with, who to let up close and personal into our lives. So we seek wisdom. I see a lot of people basically who are not wise. And you watch them and you go, why would you do that? Why would you do that? So, you know, seeking wisdom is one of the ways that we find favor from the Lord. You know, again, Psalm 1, first psalm I ever memorized. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. You know, that man is going to find favor with God.
Mm-hmm. And especially, John, while you're talking about this world and unwise, it seems to me that people don't want any discipline. I want to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and I don't want to be accountable to anyone. And that statement is very unwise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is very unwise.
Yeah. We all want to be in charge of our lives. You know, it's what every kid says at some point in their life. It's my life. And it's like, well, not really.
You know, and correct me, is it in the book of Judges that they all wanted to do what they thought was right in their mind?
Yeah, it's in the book of Judges. No, it's actually in, let's see. Yeah, it's in the book of Judges. And in those days, here's what the whole verse says. And in those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes.
Which is so self-destructive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because a long time ago, I remember you told me that, you know, that stallions have to have a fence around them.
Yeah.
Because they have to have freedom, but it has to have borders.
Borders and barriers, yeah.
And barriers. Otherwise, that stallion is going to get in a lot of trouble and probably end up hurting himself.
Yeah.
And people don't want that, right, John? They don't want the favor of the Lord because that means that you have to submit to Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the, again, you know, we would like God to be a celestial busboy, you know, and give us what we want. Yeah. But that's why it says, not my will, you know, Jesus in the garden is saying, not my will, but your will be done. So, the wise person seeks after God's will. Why? Because God knows the best way of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the best way of everything. I mean, if I just do what I want to do, if you and I today just decide to do what we feel like doing all day long, I'll see you in jail tonight.
Right. Yeah. So, I have to ask the questions that people might be thinking about. And people say to me all the time, so you really believe that there is a God that made these commandments and you need to follow them. And then once you fail that you can't follow them, he provided a way that you can spend eternity with him. So he came up with rules. He knew the rules wouldn't work. And then he gave us a provision. And by you accepting that provision, then you think you're going to heaven. And that's the God you believe in.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that the rules fail. It's that you fail to keep the rules. The rules are perfect. Jesus kept every one of the commandments. Right, he lived a perfect, sinless life. He had to. He had to establish all that righteousness so it could be transferred to me. But yeah, the rules are there. The rules are there. Back to what you were saying earlier, to let you know that you can't. You really can't run your own life. I mean, you could try, and most people do. Most people settle for some kind of like. They find a little bit of control, a little kingdom that they build for themselves, and they kind of coast in that. You know, they establish what I say is a comfortable rut. And, you know, they got their little routine, they live in their house, they go on vacation, they go out to eat, you know, and there is this sense in their life that, well, you know, I'm really in charge of my life. But the truth of the matter is you're not, because all that... Everything you have, everything you are, it could literally be taken from you in an instant. And, we're not masters of the universe. We're not in charge. And that's one of the hardest things to admit. That's one of the hardest things. I'm sure you remember the sermon I gave called He's God and You're Not.
Yes, right. So let me, in the minute we have here, so that guy that is living in his house and going on vacation and he thinks he's in control, does God, the absence of God in his life, does God then control his ultimate destiny?
Well, certainly. God's in charge of everyone's ultimate destiny.
So whether you believe in him or not, he's still in control.
Yeah, he's sovereign. See, we're not used to having, we don't even know what sovereignty means because we elect all of our officials. But when there's a king, you have to do what the king says. It doesn't matter. And God, Jesus is the King of Kings. So, he's in charge.
That goes to, like, when we were talking a couple episodes ago about Jonah. You know, regardless if you think you're going your way, God's going to get you to where he needs to get you.
Yeah.
And we're, yeah.
Yeah, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. What do you
think? Right. And even if you don't believe it, that's happening to you and your life and the people around you.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I say it like this. God's playing 8 billion games of chess. Yeah. And he's going to win every round.
He's going to win every one. Right, exactly. I like that. All right. Well, that's our time right now. That's it. A great episode. Again, I learned something, and more than just one thing. Do you want the favor of God in your life? Well, you know, it's a simple decision. Well, maybe not so simple, but it's a decision you have. You can make that decision. And it basically starts with realizing, you know, I'm a sinner, and that's certainly not going to work. And I can't earn my way to this lifestyle, to this eternity that you promise us. And, you know, you have to start looking deep and saying, well, is my life full of favor? Am I discouraged? Is there really a way that I can make things better in my soul? Now, I'm not talking about better around. Look at the life of Job. I mean, that was a challenging life. But there is a better way. There is the only way, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we ask you to look around our site. We ask you if you're ready to accept Christ into your life, make him the Lord of your life, that you can find how to do that. And we're here to help you along the way. So that's why we do these things. We do these things to answer questions. We do these things to raise curiosity. And we want you to be in heaven. You know, I had an email from somebody, actually an instant message, and they said, why do you post those things all the time? And I said, because I want you to be in heaven. And John, do you want people to be in heaven with you?
Absolutely. I think
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what we've been commanded to do.
And that's why you have poured your entire life into doing that. Mm-hmm. And we thank you for that. Thanks for listening. I'm Dean Vitale, the regular guy, on behalf of John Bell, our lifelong pastor. We hope that you listen along the way, because we have more gems of wisdom and more things to share. Thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to hearing you again.